A U.S. district court in New York City may seem an odd place to resolve Puerto Rico's financial crisis. It's 1,600 miles away from the devastated island. Still, in our series, Puerto Rico, the Future of Debt, reporter Jane Sassine says that's largely where it'll get sorted out, under the watchful eye of a judge who hails from Brooklyn. She'll be making history no matter what she decides in this case.
Judge Laura Taylor Swain has dealt with messes before. She oversaw one of the Bernie Madoff trials, and she presided over the guilty plea of SAC Capital Advisors, the hedge fund accused of insider trading. The Puerto Rico case is much bigger and has far broader consequences.
Judge Swain probably has one of the hardest, if not the hardest, jobs that a judge could ever have.
James Spiotto is a restructuring expert who advised Congress on new legislation that essentially allowed Puerto Rico to go bankrupt.
There are multiple factors, obviously very complex and highly aggressive litigation going on.
When I attended a recent hearing, she had a warm, easy manner. At one point, she jokingly reminded an attorney racing through his brief that she does like to stop and occasionally ask a question. But she's also firm. There's no question who's in charge. A little background. Swain is a 59-year-old African-American woman who grew up in Brooklyn. She's been on the federal bench for 22 years. John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, appointed her to oversee Puerto Rico's bankruptcy case.
She has this really deep knowledge of the bankruptcy process.
That's Kate Long, who does research for bondholders.
I think the Chief Justice Roberts wanted the best legal mind from the federal bench that he could find.
She faces an enormous task, and a historic one. No one has ruled on Puerto Rico's new bankruptcy law before. And that means many of Judge Swain's decisions will be appealed, potentially all the way up to the Supreme Court. She doesn't give interviews, but when you talk with those who appeared before her or went to law school with her, they're near unanimous in their praise.
Judge Swain is notable for her patience. She will always let everyone say their piece.
That's Matthew Schwartz. He's a former federal prosecutor who tried the Madoff case before her.
She really wants to make sure that she has stopped, thought through her decision and the implications of her decision, and gotten the right ruling.
Just as important, Swain brings a deep sense of empathy to her courtroom. Speaking at a Harvard Law School panel on leadership, she emphasized how important it is for judges to understand the impact of their rulings.
I have to be as accurate and as appropriate as I can be in terms of all of the sentencing factors. People need to understand what's happening to them and why their families need to understand it. And I also feel very much that I need to leave people with an encouraging word.
Swain often begins the hearing with a greeting for the people of Puerto Rico. After saying buenos dias to those listening in from San Juan, she says she hopes things are getting better. Her message is reaching at least some people in Puerto Rico. A group of retirees recently met in San Juan's financial district to plot strategy. They're following the court proceedings closely, and they like the judge. Dr. Marcos Lopez Reyes represents thousands of public retirees.
The perception of Judge Taylor Swain among Puerto Rican people is that we can trust her humanistic capacity, and we are feeling hopeful that she is going to help raise the profile of the pensioners.
He also likes how tough she is with the high-priced New York lawyers.
We perceive Judge Laura Taylor Swain as a very capable person who knows how to control different factions, because she is managing high-powered law firms who represent the strongest economic power.
It's true, she's cracked down on things like bringing too many lawyers to the hearings and charging top dollar.
We're talking about guys that are making $1,000 an hour. It was insane, like 10 to 12 lawyers from one firm.
Luis Valentin Ortiz is a reporter at Puerto Rico's Center for Investigative Journalism. He's reported on the sky-high lawyers' fees.
Swain was very, very emphatic. I think that's one of the few times I've seen her even pissed. I mean, she was like, guys, come on.
She will need all those skills to resolve the complex litigation. After all, it's her job to clean up this mess. Actually, there is one other player whose power rivals that of Judge Swain, the Financial Oversight and Management Board, whose members are appointed by Congress. The thing is, pretty much everyone hates the board. It's one of the few things people agree on. But that's partly its job. Outside boards can make the tough and unpopular decisions that local politicians often can't. Here's James Spiotto again.
Having a financial control board gives you both the ability to locally make proposals, but then have them reviewed by someone who's going to make sure that in the long term, you're doing the right thing.
The idea isn't new. When Detroit, New York, and Washington, D.C. ran into financial trouble, outside boards or managers oversaw their restructurings, too. But given Puerto Rico's fraught history, there's anger at what many see as Washington's heavy-handed control.
Most of the people in the fiscal control board are not from Puerto Rico. They are North Americans. They don't know our history. They don't know our culture.
Isar Gaudreau is an anthropology professor at the University of Puerto Rico.
It's just basically like going back to raw colonial rule.
Not that people are any happier with the Puerto Rican members of the board, a number of whom worked at the banks and agencies blamed for creating the debt crisis in the first place. Particularly galling to many, even as it's imposing spending cuts, the board is paying enormous salaries and running up huge legal bills. Lopez Reyes said retirees had hoped the board would crack down on fees and costs that smack of corruption.
Now we have had the tremendous blow that in reality, the oversight board didn't come to correct the government's successes. It came to rob the people of Puerto Rico.
So there's a public perception that the board favors the big Wall Street creditors, which is ironic because the creditors think the board is failing them. Most of the firms that own big slugs of Puerto Rican bonds initially thought the board would bring greater discipline to Puerto Rico's finances and help them work out a fair deal.
They have not done a lot to force the Commonwealth towards progress in terms of financial accountability.
That's Dora Lee, a vice president with Bellhaven Investments. And like many other creditors, she now feels that the board and the government are angling to pay back as little as possible.
Time and time again, you've seen the Commonwealth come out with budgets and projections that claim surpluses, only to have them walk back in the mid-year saying, oh, we were over-projected yet again.
The discovery of $7 billion the government didn't even know it had? Well, that didn't help. With little agreement on basic facts, it's going to be difficult to resolve Puerto Rico's bankruptcy. And that's why Swain will likely be overseeing the case for years and years to come. Jane Sessin, WNYC News.
Puerto Rico, the Future of Debt, is supported in part by the Jacob and Valeria Langloth Foundation, the Park Foundation, WNET's Chasing the Dream Initiative, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.